bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Second hour of the show, and this half hour of the show is being brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. I just literally went through the buying experience myself Saturday at Sunbury Motors, ended up getting a Ford Explorer. Brand new, 2024. Why? I wanted the warranty. Why did I go to Sunbury Motors? Went to Sunbury Motors quite simply because I think they're the best. So I went in there. Chris was just tremendous to deal with. The Stanger, getting it done. And then Jared, because you have to go through the entire financing process afterward. Quick, efficient, doesn't waste anybody's time. Just great people to talk to. Yeah, Stanger may be a West Virginia guy, okay, in terms of being a West Virginia fan, but he's also a Red Sox fan. So, okay, so he did enough there to satisfy me on that part. But it was a great experience, and I wanted new. Why did I want new? I wanted the warranty, you know, and that was really important to me, and they made sure that that was taken care of because I got an extended warranty on it, bumper to bumper. But maybe your budget says you can't do that. I was fortunate and I was able to do it. Maybe your budget says otherwise. Well, guess what? Pre-owned inventory. I went through the lot. I saw all this great pre-owned inventory on the lot. And they go over each one of them with a fine-tooth comb. It's the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Service department, tremendous. Routine, difficult. They handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. You know, college sports is so much fun. That's why people go to it in droves. That's why Beaver Stadium has 110,000 people in it, game in and game out. I go to Ohio State, same thing. Go to Michigan, same thing. But at the same time, there's still concern about the future of college sports and how people react to it. I was at an event in Newcastle in Lawrence County on Tuesday night, and like the transfer portal and the NIL, it's like not everybody in the room is comfortable with it. And I understand that. I think structure would make it more comfortable. Well, you have court cases going on right now. And part of the court case that's going on, the House case, is that there's been an instruction from Claudia Cowan, the judge, to have, you know, the two sides sit down and see if they can work it out before they go to trial in January. Well, they're at least doing that right now. Let's bring in Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports to join us, the outstanding one. Dennis, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Steve, I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
I hope you're doing well, by the way. Let's get to some of our favorite topics, and that would be I always refer to these now as the Kessler cases because he's the one that's the central figure in all of them. But they are sitting down and they've been instructed to go through settlement talks. What have you learned from those settlement talks, you know, and is there any opening that they can get this done before the trial starts in January?
Well, the story that emerged this week is that the Power Four are attempting to institute a revenue-sharing plan with players. We don't know exactly who players, basketball, football, you know, all of them, all of the minor sports, as a way to facilitate the settlement for the House case. Now, that doesn't necessarily settle the other cases, but which, as you said, Jeffrey Kessler has some of them. He doesn't have all of them. I think if they did settle this one, the House case is huge. It would indicate to a jury that there has been made progress in the antitrust area. What they want to do is avoid going to a jury. But they have to get House settled first because it goes to trial in January. We're 9 months away. That's in legal years, that's like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do this week.
All right, and are there two parts to this? One is damages to those who have gone through this but never were compensated, and those who are currently involved. Does that sound right?
The class, from what I've read, the class in-house, it's a class of athletes, is about 7,000 who have to get 2018 to 2020. That was the period they put in the lawsuit that weren't properly compensated for their NIL rights and brought in money from the broadcast contract. And the lawsuit, they estimate that to be something like $1.4 billion. Okay. If they lose at trial, I'm just giving you an example here. Automatically, in U.S. law, antitrust, you lose at trial, damages for treble.
Right.
They would be on the hook. NCAA in the schools for $4.2 billion. That would essentially end the NCAA. The forward piece, they want to sell, like, just off the book. There's no money. I'm just trying to change the landscape with that law that these players get paid. So that's another reason why it's so important.
Yeah, when he means treble, this isn't the USFL case for a dollar that ended up at three.
No.
It's a little bit more.
No.
Now, Trev Alberts, and it may have been talking to boosters, whomever, I don't know, mentioned that he threw out the numbers of 15 to 20 million per year that athletic departments would have to come up with. Dennis, what would that then mean for athletic departments who are sitting there and have probably done 3 to 5 year projections and never counted on this being in there?
Yeah, you must have read my story for a couple of weeks ago. That's exactly what I wrote about. Like, how do ADs do future budgets with this hanging over their heads? And the answer was they can't. But that number is accurate, that they would be on the hook for $15 to $20 million each on average in the Power Four. I had written a story, gosh, earlier this year. These questions popped into my head. So how could they afford it? It's another massive expense. Well, they can't afford it. The athletic department can borrow from the school. The school could borrow from a bank if it's that big. And as I was told in research for this story, universities are absolutely great customers for banks because the banks know they're going to get their money back.
Right.
And we're not talking about a year. It could be a 30-year note. It could be like, you know, it could be like buying a house.
Yeah.
So they can afford it, state subsidies, what have you. The bigger issue is getting it done so they can progress. Even if they get this done, if they get this settled, these lawsuits settled, it doesn't stop the spigot of possible lawsuits. It doesn't stop NIL, and it doesn't stop collectives. So I've come to the conclusion, Steve, that I think, just, you know, cutting to the chase, it's going to have to be employee-employer relationship, collective bargaining. You can get rid of all this stuff. That'll take another few years, probably. But this is a step.
And yes, I do read all your stuff. You know that.
Somebody does. You're the guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy. Just like every once in a while you hear me do a game, you're the guy.
So, that's right.
So Dennis, the next part is, I think it was the Fiesta Bowl hosted it, where they had the bowl reps. How important could collective bargaining be to solving their opt-out problem?
Well, this speaks to the reason why you need collective bargaining and an employee-employer relationship. You can't compel players to participate. No pro player has written into his contract, you have to play in the World Series. You have to play in the Stanley Cup. Why would you?
Right.
Yeah, you'd be foolish. Your agency, you'd be foolish to do that. Why would you do that? Why hurt yourself? There's a legal term called a specific performance clause that applies here. that you don't see in those contracts. Specific performance says it has nothing to do with money. It's something like if you have, let's say, a prenuptial agreement and you get divorced and one person gets the dog, you have to do that. That's a specific performance. Mm-hmm. No one can compel you to play. Now, can you write it into a, you know, an agreement? Again, I think they'd be dumb to write that in there. Because who is going to decide, for instance, if you're healthy enough to play? If you want the right to opt out, if you're Bryce Young and the decision for a playoff is $3 million guaranteed, number one choice, you might break your leg playing four extra games. You know, and I'm not endorsing it.
Right.
I'm just saying those are the factors here. So when I saw that story, I said it was from two sources who absolutely are interested in players playing in bowls. The head of the bowls, Nick Carparelli, and Eric Moses, who's the head of the Fiesta Bowl. But I made some calls this morning. You can't compel players to participate.
What if they have a contract that would state that if in given year, whatever game we play in, you have to be available for?
Well, I think the collectives could do it.
Yeah.
But you know, if those players are getting any kind of representation at all, you know, that would have to be scrutinized. And then you're talking about, to make it stick, every collective doing it. You know, to do the deal. So, you know, again, if I'm Caleb Williams, I don't have that in my deal because, you know, I can go somewhere else and get the money where it's not in my deal. If I get up there and I'm the number one draft choice, we're probably talking about a very small amount of players.
Sure, sure. Right.
But I don't know if there's a way. I think there's a way. In fact, I know there's a way you can reward players for participating. I mean, there's already word out there that Fox was trying to put together a postseason basketball tournament with their TV partners, Big 12, Big 10, I forget who else, schools that didn't make the tournament.
Big East.
And then they would, Big East, and they, players would get money, NIL money, for participating. But that's not the same thing. We're talking about two different things.
Right. They are two different things. Traditionally, in your research, how tough a negotiator is Kessler?
He's the best. You don't want to be tangled up with him. This is a guy who, through many of the machinations we're talking about right now, created the NFLPA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would submit, you know, along with the Major League Baseball Players Association, maybe the most powerful labor union on earth, one of them. So, when I called him the other night to get a comment on this revenue sharing thing, he didn't have a comment. He didn't want to speculate on it. But I think he sees a way here because, look, he's going to get whatever his money is, 30% or whatever it is. I think he wants these done too, but he is a change agent. He is going to be the guy when they write the book, if and when we have employee-employee relationships in college, who is going to be in the first sentence, the first chapter. Yeah. He's a Marvin Miller type. Although Marvin Miller represented players, this guy he's representing players as well. He's going to be that change agent.
You need to have a change agent or agents on the other side, though. So who are the change agents and the leaders on that side that can help make it happen so that he does become the ultimate change agent?
You mean agents to represent players?
I'm talking about the people that would negotiate the side to open the door to get this settled. Who's the leadership on that side?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, I think you have to assume that the Big Ten and SEC are the leaders in that right now. In fact, I wrote that earlier this week because they've got the means and they've got the motivation. And obviously, the ACC and Big 12 are also involved. But, you know, I think you can assume the two commissioners of those, or the four commissioners of those leagues are involved, and then the general counsels of those leagues.
Tony Battiti has a wide range in his background. How much can that help because he does have that wide range, whether it's TV or the negotiations and so forth.
I think he's, again, I think him and Greg Sankey, in my personal opinion, are the leaders in this. They're very smart. They want to get this finalized. Whether it does to the point where there are no more massive lawsuits, I don't know. But they are, I think they are being progressive and taking the next step. You remember on February 1st, they announced that joint advisory group between the two conferences, and that was really ominous, I thought, at the time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. You know, they're not separating, but they're saying, we got this. And I think that's part of that. I was told the joint advisory group isn't involved in this, but the people I just described, I think, are involved in this to get this to the next level.
Have you had any thoughts at all or conversation with anybody about, you know, there's been a lot of expansion. Texas and Oklahoma paid the way to get out for the last year. Oregon and Washington are now in. There, now, people are wondering about Florida State. What, are, if anything, are you hearing about Florida State?
Nothing lately, only that conceptually, if Florida State and Clemson get their way, then that provides a blueprint for the likes of Miami, maybe Virginia, North Carolina. And then the discussion becomes, is it a Big Three where the other schools sort of matriculate to the Big 12? And the ones that I just mentioned are gobbled up by the Big Ten and SEC. Or does the ACC continue to exist just in a diminished fashion? But there, from what I've read, and I don't, you know, and all the court filings, it looks like there is a way out. It looks like, name your price. You know, there is a way they can buy out of this, Florida State, and then the other ones would have to, they have to get out first, and then the SEC and Big Ten can move in. You know, I don't see any reason why Florida State, the SEC would want Florida State. They've got the state of Florida with Florida.
Right.
I'm sure Florida would be very against that. But Texas and Texas A&M are in the same conference, so
right, exactly.
Never say never.
Right, never say never. But there's also, to me, there's a, for the conferences, there's a common sense element that comes into play. Texas, Oklahoma played 3 years in the Big 12, then bought out the last year. Right? Oregon and Washington came in at a reduced number in the Big Ten. Common sense tells me that doesn't line up for Florida State of getting a jackpot if they get out.
No, that's why this is a thing. There are 12 years left in the ACC contract.
That's right.
I think ESPN can re-up. There's a look-in in 2027, I think.
Okay.
And look, if you're ESPN, why wouldn't you renew it? You've got those schools at a bargain basement price. That's why they signed the deal.
Right.
That's the difference. Texas and Oklahoma in 21 were 3 or 4 years out from the end of their contract with the Big 12 and the rights holders, and they in fact gave notice in May of that year before they left that we're not going to renew the grant of rights. So that should have told you something.
Sure.
With Florida, Pac-12, obviously it was collapsing around them.
Yeah.
With less than a year to go. So that's the huge difference. So there's a lot of money in rights fees left in 12 years.
A lot of money left. Dennis, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. I know you jumped on with us late, and we appreciate it as always. And yes, I do read everything.
You'll be held. It'll be a test at the end of the semester, Steve.
I'm looking forward to it. Bring it on. Bring it on.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You bet, Dennis. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, and always does a great job informing the audience. One of the keys to this show every single time is that hopefully when the show's over, you learn more about something. And that's why you're bringing guests like Dennis Dodd, because I think he does a great job of, when he's done, people at least have a better handle and know more about something, which I feel he did today, talking about the House case versus the NCAA. Next half hour, Sweeney Murdy will join us. We'll talk some baseball with him, and we'll get him on. He can tell you a little bit about his Bucknell background on top of that, which is a hidden gem. This half hour has been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee and a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, routine to difficult, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour on this Thursday, being brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, it doesn't really matter what the insurance need or needs happen to be. Look, you have multiple insurance needs. You want to work with pros. You want to work with people who care about your situation and your circumstance, and you don't want to just be a number. And that's what they do at Purdy Insurance. They do a great job of making sure that you're their priority. Your insurance needs are their priority. Your financial needs are their priority. They do a great job of going out there and making sure that they can save you money wherever they can while making sure you're fully insured. Great people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Always great to bring back great friend who has done a great job over the years of covering especially Major League Baseball, Sweeney Murney. Sweeney, great to have you back on the show.
pardon me for the tangent right now. A couple of weeks ago, I took the family and I went on a vacation to Universal, and I rode a bunch of roller coasters with my 10-year-old son, Ryan. Wasn't the most favorite thing I've ever done, but I did it and I survived, right? I told my mom, and she said and I reminded her, like, you know, we never did this when I was a kid. We go to the parks like this. She says, oh, no, the only time I've ever been on a roller coaster was before you were born. And my dad worked at Bucknell for a couple of years before moving to Penn State Harrisburg. And so they lived in Lewisburg. And she told me that she racked her brain to remember where this roller coaster was. It was in Sunbury. Yeah. Now, I have no idea how big or small this, you know, whatever amusement park or fair or whatever was in town. But as I keep hearing you say Sunbury all the time, I'm reminded of the story she told me just a couple of weeks ago, that she rode a roller coaster in Sunbury.
Yep. Knoebels would be the closest still here.
Okay.
In Elysburg, which is just outside of Sunbury. So maybe
I'll take your word for
maybe
it.
Maybe it was Knoebels.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing extremely well, and I hope you're doing well. Doing great work as usual. So,
thank you kindly.
John Sterling, I mean somebody will have to explain to me why now and not spring training. But I know he's tired, but, you know, how surprised were you that it was now? I don't mean this year, but now.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, but I guess it's not, you know, it's not always so cut and dried. You know, I think, you know, for a lot of time, you have athletes or whatever go through this, and, you know, their body tells them at the end of the year that it's time, it's finally time to go, or they see the prospects of coming back with a contract or whatever it is. And John could be there as long as he wants to be, and I'm not sure he really knew that he didn't want to be, so until recently. So he's done an amazingly long time. You know, I think all of us would sign up for longevity and everything else that's gone with his career. And I hope he has plenty of years left to enjoy himself and his family.
What made John off the air special and then on the air special?
I think kind of both are the same to some degree, Jonesy, is because he loved rooting for the Yankees to win, and he was disgusted with them when they played poorly and lost.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like you're sitting next to somebody or listening. You know, as if you're listening at home, it's like you're sitting next to somebody who's there with you and is interested in the same thing you are. And there was something very genuine about that with John. It wasn't contrived. Definitely very excited. And I could see, you know, what I could see up close. For 9 seasons, I got to do post-game radio shows, and that meant going to the booth in the 9th inning and sitting next to John as the game was ending.
Mm-hmm.
And in these, you know, unless it's a blowout, you know, you have a game on the line situation here, one way or the other. Are they going to hold on? Are they going to come back? And you could feel those big moments as the crowd is rising and the situation gets there. John was ready for it, and it was theater to him, and he loved it. As much as he was into the idea of watching and rooting along, he also knew his responsibility as a broadcaster and was ready for that moment. I can still picture him sitting back in his chair, letting the crowd do its thing as a 3-2 pitch is coming. And or about to be thrown, and he leans in just as he sees the pitcher set, and you know, you can see him just—it's almost like he's stepping into the batter's box, so like he is ready for the pitch,
mm-hmm.
and he was still very good at those moments. And it's a funny thing too. I mentioned this to somebody a couple days ago. You would appreciate this. You know, he doesn't use a headset microphone. He uses a stand microphone. This is a little inside radio, but whatever.
Right. That's Don Fisher of Indiana. Don is going into his 52nd season. Same thing. Don does not use a headset.
Okay. Now, it's very, like, for the, you know, I think, you know, you probably stand up a lot while you do games, right?
Up in
move
the
around
end,
a little bit.
Usually, I'd say 80% of the time I'm sitting down, but 20% of the time I'll stand up.
Okay. So there are moments when you stand up and it's easier to move around with the headset on. And, you know, most broadcasters these days will use a headset. It allows you, you know, frees up your hands to write or move around and things like that. And John still uses that stand microphone with an earpiece in just one ear.
Yep.
And what he's still able to do is lean into that microphone like he's, like, crouching into a batting stance. And our engineer, remarked to me once that John has amazing mic technique. And as the crowd is rising up around him, he knows how to get right through and make sure his voice is cutting through and still able to be heard above the crowd in loud moments and bring his voice up, you know. And listen, I've had troubles with my voice, and I know what I can and can't do in a loud room, in a loud environment after 3 hours, let alone after 3 hours. And he's there night after night doing this and bringing this big booming voice still in his 80s and matching the moment many times. And that's what I appreciate. And, you know, off the air, he's, you know, he comes back down after a game a little bit. And, you know, it's on to the next. But he's still, you know, he still feels it as a fan. And, you know, I think he really, truly enjoys the theatrical aspect of it. And I think that's what people have to remember. For critics of his style, I think you have to remember that he knows he is entertaining. He's not just telling you what's happening.
Well, this is what people do need to understand. You don't broadcast for the critics. You broadcast for the fans. You're trying to paint pictures for the fans. You're trying to tell stories for the fans. Right? You're not broadcasting to the critics. And there's an excellent chance that the critic can't do what you do. So what does it matter what they think?
And honestly, probably trying to find faults here and there.
Sure.
You know, because that's what draws the attention.
Right, exactly. So... where to from here? I mean, you know the Yankee situation better than anybody. I mean, I know they've had people that were scheduled to fill in for them. Is that how they're going to do it? Is there a permanent possibility? I want you to get it, but I'll leave that at that.
I haven't asked. Like, I'm actually removed from it now. You know, I've been away from the radio for over a year now.
Yeah.
Over at Major League Baseball, and I can speculate as to what I think might happen is that they'll, you know, there are a lot of, and just my own pure speculation here, Steve, let's make that clear. If you're going to search for the next person permanently, you could pick one of the two guys who have filled in this year, the last 2 years when John missed games, and Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Barberi.
Yep.
But if you are the New York Yankees, do you want to find someone who has a little bit more name value, experience, whatever you want to call it, I don't know. But if that's the case, then you probably have to wait till the off season to name somebody more permanent, because you know, any of the people who you might be thinking of in that regard are probably already under contract announcing games this season and aren't going to be leaving those jobs. That's just a guess for me. I don't know really know what's happening there. Said I'm removed from it now, and you know, on to other things.
All right. So now I want to ask you about what the Yankees have done to this point. They salvaged against Toronto, and I know Aaron Judge got a lot of credit for coming up with a big hit, but it seems like Giancarlo Stanton to this point is off to the kind of start the Yankees needed. How important is that component to go with Judge and Juan Soto?
The finish will be a lot more important than the start, and you know, how many times have we chuckled at the line in spring training, you know, best shape of his life?
And yeah, yeah.
You hear all those things. You know, those are great stories for spring, and I was as guilty as anybody of you know, pushing those forward when I covered spring trainings all those years. But what you come to recognize is that they should feel great in spring training because they haven't played games for months.
Right.
Everything is a controlled environment. Even the exhibition games, you're only, you know, playing, you know, 2-3 innings to start and then 5 or 6 innings to start. You rarely play back-to-back days. So you should feel good. Now is when the grind begins and you're playing, you know, 8 in a row and 12 out of 13 or something like that. And you know, you get these stretches where you're going to play, the team's going to play 17 days in a row and you're finding off days and, you know, people get banged up here and there. You ratchet up the intensity level. That's the thing. If Giancarlo Stanton can stay in the lineup for 120 games, mm-hmm. I would sign up for that in a heartbeat. I would take that number from here to the end of his contract. Yeah. And, you know, you don't need to give me 150 games. You give me 120 and assume that other people are healthy and producing as well. I think those numbers will look good because if he's playing that many games, Steve, it probably means, you know, that you found your areas to rest him, maybe a small injury. But you found your areas to rest him and make sure that you get everybody else in. And he's performed, you know, those numbers are going to be there if he's in the lineup that many times. So I do think there's something to his, you know, I mean, I haven't seen it up close yet, but like whatever they're describing as more of a slimmer, trim, toned version of Stanton. But he's still such a big body, and those are unusual bodies for baseball. So to keep them healthy over the course of the, you know, the running and the pounding of a full season, that's the tricky part. And I don't know how many of us can relate because, you know, it's just different putting that body through that sport sure. and that regimen every day.
So you brought up the injury part, and so far there have been a rash of injuries, especially for pitchers to this point, which some people have said is pitch clock related. You see that to this point, these things do go in cycles for whatever reason. What's your thought on that?
I think the pitch clock thing is ridiculous to mention that. You know, if it was the pitch clock, then, you know, every pitcher would be getting hurt.
Right.
Everybody. And as many big names as you've seen, it's not there. And this is not something new. You know, we've seen this over the last few years. And it's, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the guys who are throwing super hard are the ones who are getting hurt.
Yep.
And it's hard to pull back on that because you've been taught now that velocity is what gets you noticed, velocity is what gets you drafted,
yep.
velocity is what gets you promoted, and velocity is what gets you in a big league uniform. So it's hard to pull back on that. And even just bringing back to Giancarlo Stanton for a minute, you know, the idea that, you know, it takes a while for players to learn, for athletes to learn, train less, and it'll be more beneficial mm-hmm. to you.
Yep.
You know, I heard Don Mattingly say that in a that he learned way too late that maybe he should have pulled back a little bit on the amount of work that he did, focusing more on the quality of the work, and maybe his back would have held up because he's almost positive that that's what happened to him in the early 1990s when he hurt his back, and he wasn't quite the same player that he was before that. You know, so along those lines, you know, velocity and just keep pushing the limit is how these athletes are training now. I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a pitching coach, but Steve, I mean, we can draw this line, right? Like, you keep running your car 130 miles an hour, mm-hmm. pretty soon you're on your way to the mechanic.
Yeah. No, and this is in doing football and basketball, when football gets to November, practices get shorter. When basketball gets to February, practices get shorter because legs become exponentially more of a premium at that point. And you can, practice makes perfect. Perfect practice, okay, is what gives you the best chance, okay? And if you're smart about how you practice and build in the right amount of rest, you actually are going to be a better player.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that people struggle with, especially at a young age when you feel invincible at times, right? I mean, these guys act and perform as if they are invincible, and you know who can blame them? I can't relate. I don't know how many of us can to being that good at a particular sport that takes you to that level.
That's right.
So I see some of that, but you know, And I don't know where, you know, I don't know how you can fix it, because there aren't enough people willing to say, I'm going to pull back now, right? I mean, it's the idea of work hard, outwork somebody, and it's taken on the meaning of pushing your body too far sometimes, as opposed to, you know, training well enough to do it.
Well, there's a pressure on it, because there are eight. Okay, this is how good they are. Okay, this is both how good they are and how important it is to stay in it. There are 8 billion people in the world. 780 of them are on Major League Baseball rosters. That's how good you are, but also how important it is to keep your spot. And that's why I think some guys try to work themselves into the ground, because they know how valuable the spot is.
Yeah, and listen, and everything, all the numbers, you know, line up to tell you that it's harder to hit velocity.
Yep.
And from a hitter's standpoint, you know, you're searching for perfect exit velocity, because that equals harder hit balls equal more hits. And so, you know, we're pushing the limits. I don't know what this solution is. I really don't. But, you know, you had guys who threw hard before. You had guys who worked quickly before. I think the idea of making them work faster, I think, is a silly reason to point at, because that's, and I see why they say that, because if you saw the way the game was being played and drawn out before the pitch clock was introduced, you had pitchers literally taking as long as they could to catch all their strength and gear up to throw the next pitch as hard as they could, and then take another deep breath and work their body up so they can throw the next pitch as hard as they could.
Yeah.
And that's why the game slowed down.
Oh, there was one Red Sox reliever who came in 36 seconds between pitches. The concession stand is only open until so long, so you just can't keep running back and forth. All right, Sweeney, you are the best, my friend. So great to have you with us, and look forward to talking again.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. The terrific Sweeney Murney joining us on the show today. I didn't know about the Bucknell connection. How about that? That was a surprise. All right. A lot of fun today. This half hour has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have multiple insurance needs. They take care of all of them, and they do everything they can to save you money. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Missy Matthews is going to join us on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to talking with her. And also looking forward from hearing from all of you. It was great again earlier in the week on Tuesday night going to Lawrence County and seeing the great people in Newcastle. And so many of them listen to the podcast. We cannot thank them enough. But with that, we can't thank you enough for listening as often as you do. We appreciate you more than you know. I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.